Thanks for tuning in again to Organic Matters. Glad you're finding me wherever it is. This week I'm going to do I always try to do some good and some bad. There is a new update from the Center for Disease Control on a study of glyphosate. For most of you may know, glyphosate's been a very controversial ingredient found in weed killers for 2 or 3 decades yet, and there's a lot of science behind this. So I hate to drag it down for 4 or 5 minutes, but let's run through this because it's something that even if you don't use Roundup and those that have, your neighbors are. And even if your neighbors aren't, the farmers are, and it's going into your rivers. Folks, you need to learn a little bit more about this. It's pretty much conclusive as to what it can do to you. And yet the powers that be are still able to promote it. So let's begin with this little bit on glyphosate just to show you how ubiquitous it is in the environment. More than 80% of all urine samples drawn from children and adults in the United States Health Study of thousands contained a weed-killing chemical linked to cancer. A science group called that disturbing and concerning. And what was that chemical? It was glyphosate. Actually, there's been a number of studies, but the most recent one I found was from the CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention. They took 2,310 urine samples from a group of Americans intended to be representative of the population. They do the demographics on that. 1,885 were laced with detectable traces of that one chemical, glyphosate. In easy numbers, that's 1,900 out of 2,300 people have glyphosate in their body in our country right now. That's telling you it's most everywhere. Here in this country, the easy name to remember is Roundup, but now there's a number of them that just put it in the chemistry, and if you don't read the side, you don't have any idea what you're using. Well, I've been talking about Roundup for 20 years at least. Private researchers have been noting high levels of the herbicide glyphosate in analysis of human urine for years, but the CDC has only recently started examining the extent of human exposure to glyphosate here in the United States especially, and its work comes at a time of mounting concerns and a lot of controversy over how pesticides in food and water actually impact us humans and the environment that we live in. And it's becoming apparent that it's a lot more insidious than we thought it was. Even though myself and a number of guys on the radio that are in the Organi-X business have been talking about this stuff for years, I really, really still expected the realization that when we found out just what a percentage of people in the United States have glyphosate in their blood or in their bodies, that they're going to be surprised, and they are. We already know there's a large fraction of the population that has it in their bodies. Many people now are going to be thinking about whether that includes them. If the numbers the way they are, there's a good chance that it does. In an analysis done in 2019, it was found that glyphosate exposure increases the risk of non-Hodgkin lymphoma. And that same study also showed of the 19 studies they did, basically glyphosate in human urine in the majority of the folks that they tested. I might just throw this in just to be gory. Both the amount and prevalence of glyphosate found in human bodies right now has been rising steadily since the 1990s when Monsanto Company introduced their first genetically engineered crops designed to be sprayed directly with Roundup. According to research published in 2017, the latest I could find, at the University of California of San Diego School of Medicine researchers, this study continues, but Monsanto sold out to Bayer, like the aspirin company, several years back, debt and all, and they have paid out literally not millions, but billions of dollars to people that were working, especially in the fields or directly with glyphosate, and ended up with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And so it's a pretty confounded fact that that's true. Why Bayer would pay that kind of money for a dangerous product's beyond me. Now, a few boring but necessary numbers. More than 200 million pounds of glyphosate are used annually just in the United States and just basically on our farmlands. That's not necessarily even counting every bit that goes onto people's lawns, which I can't believe. The weed killer sprayed directly over genetically engineered crops such as corn and soybeans, and also over non-genetically engineered crops such as wheat and oats as a desiccant to dry the crop prior to us harvesting it and guess what? Eating it. Interesting. Many farmers also use it on fields before the growing season, including spinach growers and almond producers. It is considered the most widely used herbicide in history. Residues of glyphosate have been documented in just an array of all of our popular foods almost. If it's made with crops, it's a chance it's going to have glyphosate in it. And that includes, and there's been a big problem about this lately, includes baby foods. The primary route of exposure for children is through their diet more than any other way. And there's a number of baby foods that showed up with glyphosate in the baby food. Not a good idea. Of course, Monsanto and the company that bought them, as I mentioned earlier, back in 2018, is the Bayer Company, have maintained that glyphosate and Roundup are both safe and that residues in food and in human urine are not a health risk, in spite of them paying out over $2 billion so far with people that prove they got their non-Hodgkin's lymphoma by handling glyphosate. It's the Philip Morris effect, folks. It's the cigarette commercials that went 30 years telling you cigarettes don't hurt you, folks. Have a smoke. Well, pesticides don't hurt you, folks. Go ahead and just pour it on your garden if you want. Not on mine. To add to the confusion, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has taken the opposite immediate stand and classified glyphosate not to be classified as a carcinogenic, but the agency did go on to say that it needs to have a further consideration. So that's going to change now. The EPA is in new hands. So we might be able to get some of this back on board. Of course, I'm an old fart these days, so I sure should consider it. But everybody really should consider what's going on. So they should be concerned. But personally, I'm particularly concerned for my children and now my grandchildren. Children are way more heavily exposed to pesticides than adults because, pound for pound, they drink more water, eat more food, and of course, even breathe more air. You ever think about it? Of course, also, children have many, many more years of future life when they can develop diseases over longer and longer incubation and exposure periods, such as cancer. This is a particular concern with this particular herbicide because we know the longer, the worse. That's glyphosate, of course. Just to tie this part of it up, this is Organic Matters, which was primarily an organic gardening show for the first decade I was on. So I still reference myself that way. Folks, there's so many other weed-killing alternatives out there that you don't have to. Matter of fact, read, and the last thing you want to do is get any of them. Now that it's, I guess, over its 20-year limit or something, there's glyphosate in a number of products that you're not even aware of it if you don't turn it around and read it. Especially when you're buying anything that's poisonous or dangerous. Read the entire. I'm not a big reader. I've put a few bicycles, table, and I don't even read till I get to the end to find out what I did wrong. I'm not that. But for this stuff, it is important that you know what you're putting out there, where your cats are, your dogs are, your children, your grandchildren. It's not just a threat anymore. It's a fact. Stay away from glyphosate. I did read an article the other day, I may as well finish this too, that it said not to use vinegar to kill weeds. See, one of our organic cures for weeds in your garden is especially 20% vinegar with a dash of soap and some orange oil in it. And the article was to the fact that, yes, that says that it's not good for insects that you don't want to kill. It's certainly not good for reptiles and things. But what she failed to see is that's only when it's wet and in contact. When you spray a big spray of, let's say people shoot dandelions, which actually are edible. We shouldn't do that, but that's another story. You soak it, and it's in there, dries, and in the sun, that plant will be dead or at least lying on the ground in 20 or 30 minutes. So I'm not against vinegar used properly. Yeah, you don't want to spray it on your bees. You don't want to spray it on your beneficial butterflies, but it is contact. That's how it works with fire ants and a number of other bugs and, of course, a number of funguses and molds that get on your plants. but it's while it's wet and it's while it's active. But the little bit of residue citric acid left when it dries, as I can assure you, is not dangerous in general unless you're using many, many gallons of it at a time. So I just thought I'd throw my 2 cents worth in there as far as weeds. The other one, of course, is don't let the weeds start. If you're a little gardener like I am now, if you're not going to plant a fall crop, which where I am in this part of the country, we can plant something year-round, and that's true in a good number of the states. There are some far up north that's not much you can grow under the snow, but down here we can plant year-round. If you're not going to at least put a ground cover out, in certain parts of our country, clover would be better. Other place, a number of different kind of peas, wild peas, black peas, cow peas, vetches. There's a number of vetches, all of which do a few things. You can even put some ryegrass out. It doesn't increase the nitrogen, but it does make your soil healthier. In some ways, taking away nematodes in certain areas, they get locked up in it. In other ways, it does leave organic material here when you just smash it down and plant into it. So any of that's better than leaving. Remember, Mother Nature does not, in any circumstances long term, really like naked ground. And you might think of the seashore short term, but that's actually moving all the time. So it's taking care of itself. So if you leave it raw, if you leave it open, you're going to have something growing there, and the chances are it's going to be foliage that you don't want. It's secondary growth. It's the sand spurs and the plants, even some of the clovers, which show you. When you start getting wild clover of your own in big numbers, it's because your soil probably doesn't have enough nitrogen in it. So that clover is there to make its own nitrogen so it can use that soil. So it can also be very helpful to you. I'm going on here a little bit because my show keeps reaching more and more part of the country. It's hard to do a regional gardening show when you're getting gardens that are 1,000 miles away in a whole different weather system. So bear with me on that. If you need to know any particular questions, I have lived up north. I have gardened there. I'm more of a southern kind of guy as far as gardening. But you can write me at natureapproved@yahoo, past tense, all lowercase, natureapproved@yahoo.com. Or if you found me anywhere and you don't want to go looking for me just all the time, you can go to my name, Bruce, B-R-U-C-E, .Dooley, D-E-U-L-E-Y.com, and you'll just get my shows, none of the ads or anything. You can just go through there. There's over a couple hundred on there now, and there's a few hundred I hadn't even put on yet. So anyway, thanks for finding me. This is Organic Matters. Tell your friends about me.